This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo!
We are about a week away from Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
Not for the food. No, it's for the family and the being mindful of being grateful and for the history of what Thanksgiving and the first Thanksgiving and what the history of the Pilgrims and the Native Americans and just the whole ball of mashed potatoes is just fantastic. I love it.
I like it because we always drive to my stepdaughter's house. Uh-huh. She makes a full-on meal for 12, but there's only four of us.
Now, I must warn you, I have not had lunch, and so any talk of food is very dangerous because I could go down the mashed potato and gravy bunny trail really fast because I'm really hungry.
Really fast.
But yeah, I know. I can't believe where has this year gone?
Like that.
Oh my gosh.
Like that.
It's just not fair. The older you get, the quicker time goes.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Good news from the doctor today.
Oh, good.
I lost almost 24 pounds.
Rock on, Dave.
And I've all the numbers look good. And
excellent.
He's dropping one of my medications and changing another one.
Well, as the Irish say, saints be praised for that one there.
Yes.
There you go, Dave. Very good.
He praised me on that one.
Awesome. Well, our guest doesn't necessarily have to deal with the time going by too fast because he's not as old as we are.
He's a youngin'.
He's a really active, politically active guy. I've known Kevin for a while and he's been very politically active and I'm very encouraged by what he's doing. So without further ado, our guest for this for the first couple of segments of today's show is Kevin Chambers. Kevin, welcome to Newsmakers and Wednesdays with Denise and Dave.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So Kevin, you listeners to this show may be familiar with you. You've been on in the past iterations of KYKN Talk Radio. Given that I've already kind of outed you as a younger person, a millennial.
Thanks.
What?
No, this is good. This is good.
Oh, okay.
He's very politically active. So right now you are currently chair of the West
Salem Neighborhood Association.
Okay. That's very cool. But that's not all you do politically. Talk to us about some of the other stuff you've got your fingers into.
Yeah. So previously before that, I was the Polk County Republican chair.
Oh, wow.
And I'm really proud of what the committee did this year.
Mm-hmm.
We won in West Salem.
What do you mean you won?
Kaiser School Board. Conservative candidates won and won big.
Excellent.
And
yeah,
West
that's
Salem.
True.
So we
yeah.
proved that Republicans can win big in West Salem.
Yeah.
And, which is great heading into 2020.
Yeah.
We've raised more money. We've recruited more PCPs. We've worked with WU College Republicans who helped get WU Dems.
Uh-huh.
They're no longer a club because they keep violating school policies. Imagine that, Democrats violating policies.
So you're actually over in West Salem in that area. You are working with the, which university is that?
Western Oregon.
Yep. So you're in there, the Young College Republicans, which I love what they're doing
yeah.
all over the country, frankly. So then you were, so you're Polk County Chair, now you're West Salem Neighborhood Association, but you're also actively running in for the HD20 seat.
Correct.
So you've been through that rodeo before.
Yes.
So why do you want to do it again?
Well, I'm young.
Got the energy.
I got the energy. Again, things are just worse.
Yeah.
We look back at it and, you know, there were some predictions I made and some people claimed those predictions back in 17 and 18 were bold.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't going to happen. They happened.
Oh,
they're
really?
Happening.
You want to give us an example?
Prices are higher, more
yeah.
taxes. I mean, we talked about over $6 billion in new taxes, cap and tax. We'd use a faux. I think it's faux.
F-A-U-X?
Yeah, something like
faux.
Faux.
As in Pocahontas.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, they're using a fake environmental climate change. We need people in there who understand agriculture, which I'm not an agriculture person, but my background's earth science.
Yeah.
Is environmental sciences. So to work together and mm-hmm. actually look at data.
I noticed you talk about that a lot. I know like in the city of Salem, that's constantly coming up. And I think Brent and Dave, you guys rail against that as far as city councils, municipal governments stepping way outside of their scope.
Yeah, we do.
Trying to bring in these global and change the world. It's like, you know, can you just make sure that, you know, the street lights are on and do the things that within the scope of a municipal government. So we are seeing a lot of overreach in that regard.
Totally.
So you're seeing that as well, you know, even at the state level with cap and tax. I mean, oops, cap and trade or whatever they're calling it now.
Best.
Cap and tax. Cap and swindle is my
yeah,
favorite.
It's all those.
It's coming back for the short session. Which you won't be there. So you're looking at running. So your race is starting now.
Yeah, my race is starting now. We're fundraising, mm-hmm. obviously. We've got some potentially high backers coming in that want to talk to me. I've got a phone call tomorrow with a national fundraising platform and advisor who's been following my race mm-hmm. and myself for the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. They're interested in getting behind me. So yeah, we're fundraising. It's again, just getting out and helping people at the end of the day. That's what it comes down to. And people aren't getting heard.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about HD20. What makes up, what's the demo? What's the demographics? Yeah. What's HD20 look so like?
HD20 is, it's an interesting district because it's mm-hmm. rural mm-hmm. and urban. Mm-hmm. It's Monmouth, Independence, mm-hmm. West Salem, and a chunk of South Salem. Mm-hmm. So it's a bridge way to the West Coast, to the East Coast. You know, it's a bridge of the valley, mm-hmm. essentially. So all the rural people will come through there, but there's also a lot of urban people that live there.
Yeah.
So it's also the closest registered Democrat, Republican.
Oh, as far as the numbers kind of being kind of equal there? Because I know the demographics are changing.
Yeah. You're correct. There's a little bit more Democrats, but there's a lot of NAVs and yeah. independents. There. So
do you have a strategy for going after the NAVs? I know we talk about in other races, there's a huge portion both from both the R and the D side that have just had it with both parties that are, you know, kind of becoming a little politically homeless. They're going over there saying, you know, I really don't like either one. The swamp is swampy on both sides. So you've got those NAVs. How are you going to reach the NAVs, the non-affiliated voters?
Yeah, we've been talking to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I lost my primary in 2018. I didn't go away. Mm-hmm. I stayed involved. I stayed involved on a community level. I ran for Monmouth mayor.
Yeah.
And I lost, and that's okay. I'm just happy to see that things I ran on, they're getting done.
Yeah.
I said, hey, there's this 8.5 acres property. Let's start building. Monmouth is building.
Yeah.
So I just continue to talk to people, engage with them, and listen.
That's good. So many people, they run for office and they lose and they just drop off the face of the earth. And you're like, where the heck did that dude or that gal go? So I know you have been out there. You've been staying involved. Like you said, you didn't necessarily win, but it's a stepping stone, perhaps, to building a network, building a coalition mm-hmm. and getting your ideas. What's the old adage? It doesn't matter. You can get a lot of work done as long as you don't care who gets the credit.
Yeah.
You know, those ideas are out there and they are gaining traction. You've got people that are looking at a lot of the gross overreach that happened in 2019, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, getting prepared, girding their loins for 2020 short session, which unfortunately we're going to see a lot of this crap come back.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's meeting people, getting to know them, but it's also realizing you don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And if you look at a building from one side, you know, if we look at this building, all I'm going to see is a pizzeria. I wouldn't know. I know we said not to talk about food, but they don't have mashed potatoes. But if you come around, oh, hey, there's a radio station. Yeah. So you got to be willing to look at different points of views and mm-hmm. talk to different people and at least listen to them. Mm-hmm. People want to ultimately just be heard.
So when you're out there chatting with people, and I know it's still early on in the game. The primary is in May, so you got to gear up for that. Do you have a primary challenger?
I have a rumor challenger.
Okay. So chances are you probably will have a challenger. Yeah. It's looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. So you've got to go out there, you know, and I'm sure the other side, I don't know whether the incumbent who's in the chair right now will have a challenger. Probably not.
No.
As you're out there knocking on doors, talking to people, are there any issues that are bubbling up as some of the most pressing issues for HD20? And are they common within other regions, or is there anything specific that HD20 is kind of unique with?
The bridge.
Yeah, that one's kind of across the board. I know, Dave, I know. We talk
Don't
about,
get me started.
I know. Well, we had a city council candidate for Ward 7, Reed Sund, on last week talking about that. I think Brent's going to have some other candidates on that are, you know, pro-growth, not regressive / progressive, whatever they, because the progressive agenda seems so regressive to me and anti-growth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fact of the matter is the world as we see it is it's growing. Mm-hmm. We may want it not to, but it is. And so you hear about that, yeah. the infrastructure traveling around, how difficult it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's actually becoming so frustrating for people in West Salem that they don't want anyone else to come in.
Yeah, I've heard that. Stop building.
Stop building. And to me, that's, you know, I love West Salem. I want people to come in. I understand the frustration. The simple fact is we need another bridge. Mm-hmm. Actually, we need two.
Yeah.
I told the mayor that we were like three bridges behind.
Yeah.
I mean, they should have been building in the 70s. Another one in the 90s.
You look at
another one now.
Cities of comparable size. I think one of the one that came up was Cedar Rapids, Iowa, is about the same size.
About the same size.
12 crossings.
I know, right?
12 crossings in Cedar Rapids. And you know, when we're stuck with our two that are one of them that, you know, given as soon as Cascadia decides to rumble through our area, that one is flat as a pancake.
They're
it's
both
gone.
No, yeah. They're both gone. They're
both most likely both of them, yeah.
Yeah, and the supposed $60 million that Paul Evans voted against to mm-hmm. seismically stabilize a bridge. I called when that came out and said that's going to be $90 to $100 million.
Let's talk a little bit about that, because the Salem City Council, the progressive majority, killed the bridge. Basically, mm-hmm. they did that, and that isn't that's going to be an election issue, frankly, because a lot of people are ticked off. So we're going to take a quick break, Kevin, and I want to come back and talk to you about that and how the proposal from Rep. Evans, how that all went. But right now, we're going to take that quick break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers, proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
And welcome back, everybody. We are visiting today with Kevin Chambers, who is a candidate for HD20. Kevin, before we took our break, we were talking a little bit about the third bridge, about how that infrastructure, when the Salem City Council, the progressive wing of the Salem City Council, the majority now, voted that down, killed the bridge. HD20 representative Paul Evans came in with a...
Special tax districts.
Okay, there you go. So, how did that play? I mean, you live there. That would have affected you. How did that play? Have you spoken to people about that?
Well, people who support Paul Evans like it.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone who has a realistic view of how things work knows it's not going to work. And here's the thing. It creates a special tax district between five different counties.
Mm-hmm.
You know what county's going to get that? Lynn and Benton.
Mm-hmm.
Because Albany wants another bridge. And they're willing to pay for it mm-hmm. and build it. So we will, because the city of Salem is not willing to work on this and the state's not stepping up, because this is a state issue.
Yeah, we've got the Bridge to Nowhere back on the table again. Yay. Saw that the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, Salem is not getting anything on that. And that it is a regional issue. I think at the last, we had, 12, 11 mayors sign on and say, you know, you've got all the counties lined up. And so it's literally six individuals. Who have just stopped this for the entire region.
Yeah.
So what do you hear when you're the newly minted chair of the West Salem Neighborhood Association? That neighborhood association has been very active, very vocal. There's been a lot of contention because not everybody, like anything else, not everybody feels the same and agrees about all these issues. So what's the temperature right now of the West Salem Neighborhood Association as we're coming in to the city council races that are coming up, because those are basically decided in the May primary?
I would say there's an army going out to other wards, knocking on doors, raising money.
Yeah, because your counselor, Jim Lewis, is not up for election this year.
No, he's not. We have a Kara Kaser who mm-hmm. voted against it.
She has a sliver of Ward 8 in her district. Yeah.
Yep. You know, but
West Salem.
We've got eyes on different wards that are... Time to get those counselors who betrayed this city.
Mm-hmm.
It was flat out. They betrayed the city and this region to get them out. We need responsible leadership, not people who run up, $42 million deficit for Salem?
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then say, oh, we're going to pay more taxes.
Right. And you've got one that is going to the voters, one that is not.
Mm-hmm.
You've got... It's all the odd number races that are up. There's a competitive race in 7. There's a competitive race in 5. To my knowledge, there is not a competitive race in 1.
No.
And at this point, there isn't one in 3 either.
Not. We still got time.
Yeah. We need to get candidates that actually care about businesses and are pro-business and pro-growth and pro-
Totally.
And that are actually realistic and don't just hate cars and want everyone to ride bikes.
Right.
Yeah. You don't ride bikes in West Salem, really.
You don't ride bikes in Oregon. We've talked about this, too. I think you and Brent have talked about this. The bike lanes, when you see two people, three people, there's hardly anybody in the bike lanes.
I know, right?
But yet we keep talking about building more bike lanes.
Do you know how many times I'm walking on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
And then cyclists just come by, and there's a perfectly good bike lane right there, and there's no traffic. You're not afraid. And I have to jump off the sidewalk so they can use the sidewalk when
maybe you should use the bike lane.
Yeah, probably.
You know, put some wheels on your shoes.
The other thing.
Little wheelies. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I'm not a big tax guy.
Uh-huh.
But bikes don't pay their fair share.
So then the pushback would be, well, most bicyclists also own cars.
But if they're not using them, they're not paying for gas.
That's true.
But the thing is they're not using them because we don't see them on the roads. And when you have rain or any kind of weather, you don't see them on the roads. So But that is the pushback on that. That's what I hear all the time when you make that argument.
Sure, fine. I still want to tax tires for bikes.
Registration for bikes is what
that would be.
That would be the best. That would be the most simple and easiest.
Yeah, and I'm not a big tax guy. It takes a lot for me to say I'm going to get behind a tax.
So how's the West Salem Neighborhood Association feeling about the payroll tax and then the operating fee?
So we only generally have about 40 to 50 members at a general meeting, and then our annual meetings can shoot up to 400 or 500. It's about 55% don't like it. 45% do. It gets into very political. It can be political.
Yeah,
there.
Oh yeah.
And so, but I can guarantee you most people don't like it.
Yeah.
And they don't, they're going to be like, what happened when they suddenly see it? So
aside from the bridge issue, anything else on the minds, the hearts and minds of voters in HD 20 that is kind of getting to your ears?
Yeah, they want to be heard and listened to.
At the state level?
At the state level. And it's not just I want to be heard and listened to, it's represent your constituency. We got a guy in office right now who literally says and promotes, I will listen to the will of the voters. That's a bold-faced lie because he voted for HB 2015, which gave illegal aliens driver's licenses. Our district voted that down by 5,000 plus when it was Measure 88. And then he voted for HB 3427, which is the hidden sales tax. Our district yet again voted that down by 5,000 votes in 2016. We need someone who listens to the voters. I may not agree with you, but if a majority of the voters are saying, we want this, as your state rep, I got to listen to you and I got to vote for that.
One of the town halls, things like that, people going in and making themselves heard, going in and visiting with your representative, whether they are of your party or not, is so important. And all too often, constituents don't go to those town halls if the person doesn't have the same letter after their name. And I think that's a mistake. I would like to see that. And I think, you know, were you to ultimately be elected to that seat, is that the mindset you want to take? I mean, you're representing everybody, whether they agreed with you or voted for you or not.
Right. Yeah. So on that set, I offered and represented as the West Salem Neighborhood Association Chair, Representative Evans, and as Chief of Staff.
We'll look it up later.
Yeah. Evans Source.
Yeah.
I offered and I give them 5 to 10 minutes each neighborhood meeting to talk about what they're doing, to answer questions, because I do think people should be engaged. And so I as the official representative of that district, you get time.
Have you heard from him?
Yeah, he was there last time.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So coming into this, you got to get through a primary. So let's say you get into the general. One of the groups that I've been involved in, I know Dave, you and I have talked about this, is the Better Angels group, and talking about bringing Better Angels in to moderate some of these things, because they do get contentious, unfortunately. To really give people to set up a forum. I know you know Mike Evans, and Mike Evans has been working with the Better Angels group to get these forums in there where it's red, blue, learning to disagree civilly to have civil discourse. Would you be interested perhaps, you know, in having that kind of a sort of a Better Angels forum type debate where both of you could be there and it's respectfully done and questions and answers and back and forth using that model?
Oh, yeah, I'd love to debate Paul Evans. In fact, three debates is what I do. I'd like one at Central, one at West, and one at... I believe it's Sprague is in the district. And people come, donate what you can to a local non-charity or local nonprofit.
I think that would go a long way. I'm seeing that in other races in more partisan and some nonpartisan races. I know there was a mayoral race a couple of years ago where they did that. And it was really beneficial to people. It lowers the temperature. It brings us back to that more the days of civil discourse, which seems so far away, and you look back over your shoulder, when did we lose all that? Because it just seems to be getting worse.
Yeah. You know, we see what people don't see with candidates, and you probably have seen this, is the personal assaults and attacks. Yeah. And it can be draining, it can be hard. And I know Representative Evans has been attacked a lot, and I disagree with him on most issues, but I won't bring up a book, I won't bring up this silly billboard that they ran last time that I knew wouldn't work right there. As soon as they put that up, you lost. I'm going to go on the issues.
I think that is the winning way to go, is to go on the issues. I know I'm tired of the personal attacks. Social media has made this so much worse. I mean, you look at any political post out there, and as a person who's in office right now, I don't believe he's even allowed on his official page to delete or anything. Everything has to stay. And the vitriol and the hate directed at him... fine, disagree with him, but to attack anybody personally, to threaten, to do what I'm seeing happening up in Portland with a certain bow tie wearing congressman is out of bounds and should be shunned and frowned upon as a tactic in political discourse.
Yeah, I think Paul Evans is a nice guy. Just, again, he's wrong, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Yeah, and you talk about the issues, you make your case, you state your case. It's up to the voters to then decide, well, I'm more aligned with you or I'm more aligned with the other guy, and we go from there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what it should be.
All right, well, we're going to take another quick break, Kevin. I want to have you stick around because I want to talk to you a little about kind of your decision-making skills, kind of some concrete solutions for some of the problems that you're seeing, what you may do should you get in there. So we are going to take that break. You're listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires, and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Rich Gansky, and this segment of Newsmakers is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks, Rich Kansky, for bringing us in back into our next segment with Kevin Chambers, who's visiting us. He is a candidate for HD20. Kevin, before the break, we were talking about specific issues, things like that, campaigning, how kind of ugly it's gotten, how hopefully we're going to maybe be kinder and gentler. Maybe that's the wrong term.
Kindler.
Kinder and gentler. Not so what. You don't need to be. Yeah. You don't have to be a jerk. And I know you're not. But a lot of candidates, sometimes they can get really kind of crummy and jerky. So we talked about...
How about civil?
Civil is good. Civil discourse. Yeah. Let's act like the adults that we are and, you know, attack the issues. Absolutely.
Adults.
Go like
That's
a pit bull.
That's the key.
Go like a pit bull after the issues. No, you know, state your best case. Why are you? And a lot of times I see candidates that can't articulate the issues, so they kind of knee jerk over to the personal attacks. And I don't see you doing that at all. But the issues, we win on the issues.
Right.
We really, really do.
Right.
But we got to articulate those issues. What are you going to do to articulate those issues to get voters, non-affiliated Democrats that are disgruntled, sick of it, to vote for you for HD 20 rep?
I'm going to go where they're at. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to different, you know, farmers markets. We're going to go to your door. Last election cycle, I did not believe in door to door. And then I didn't go door to door.
Door to door is where elections
where it's at. Yes.
Is, are at. Yeah.
And
that's where you make or break it.
That's where we're going. We're going to go after each individual person on what they care about, mm-hmm. and talk about. Someone may be pro-choice, but pro-gun. Paul Evans is not pro-gun. He'll tell you he is.
He campaigns that way.
But he's not. Paul Evans will literally say one thing on the campaign trail and vote for something else. Yeah. Okay? Rule number one for me, my word's my bond. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. Or not do it, I'm not going to do it. So if I tell you, like, I am pro-gun, I'm pro-gun. If I'm pro-life, I'm pro-life, you know. So we're going to go to each individual person and talk to them about the issues that are concerning for them. And some of these top issues, you know, someone who listens to them, who actually votes for the will of the people, pro-bridge, pro-gun, start reducing and going rolling back these oppressive business regulations, business taxes, mm-hmm. taxes, starts actually being responsible in the government and preparing for a natural disaster that is coming and will devastate us.
Do you think that we as a sort of as a city, as a region are prepared for
no.
that?
No. No. West Salem across the river is SOL. I'm talking to the city, mm-hmm. and we're going to try and put wells in the northeastern part of West Salem. So we have emergency water with purification systems already. Portable purification system so we can have generators and water for people in West Salem.
So what's there now? Because like we talked about earlier in the show, Cascadia comes rolling into town. Those bridges are down.
Those bridges are down.
You're not going anywhere in West Salem.
No. So right now it's open farmland or land to be developed. It's sands and gravels is what supplies the Willamette water. It's mm-hmm. how Kaiser gets their water.
So you wouldn't be able at that point to have any, if the infrastructure is down, getting water out of the Willamette is fine, but how do you purify it?
Portable purification stations. Yeah, they're
CERT is big. Are you involved in CERT?
I know the Polk County head of CERT.
Yeah.
It's been an ongoing issue, increasing issue in importance in West Salem Neighborhood Association. So we're going to be doing CERT training, stuff like that. So, yeah, but it's first off, if I can't pump water, mm-hmm. so if I don't even have access to water because those bridges go down, there's no water in West Salem. So
Well, besides the water, then you got the sewer problem.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's all kinds of things that nobody ever wants food. To really talk about. Yeah.
Food.
Basically, yeah. We're 3 days away from utter, I mean, society falls apart in 3 days because our just-in-time delivery system for groceries, for gas, for fuel, for everything, just-in-time is 3 days. Pretty much, you know, you're on your own, and that's a scary proposition for anybody to think about. So let's say May primary, you win the primary, November, you're elected. What does the office of HD20 Representative Kevin Chambers look like as far as how do you communicate with constituents these things you have talked to us about today?
We're going to hold town halls. Mm-hmm. We're going to hold Facebook, obviously, mm-hmm. and other social media. But the biggest thing, one of the things that bugs me about the government is they're only 8 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also 8 to 5 and I can't go to the DMV or right. I can't, you know, and so I'm going to have office hours. This is what I talked about this last time. This is what biggest lesson I've learned from college is professors have office hours so you can go talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will have office hours once a week. One time it will be in the Capitol if it's open. Not, I'll go to I'll switch cities, you know, Monmouth, Independence, West Salem. And I'll sit there for 2 hours. And if no one shows up, okay, I'll read. If someone shows up, okay, we'll talk.
So kind of coffee shops will be your satellite offices.
Coffee
you'll
shop,
be
yeah.
where...
Yeah.
I know a lot of mayors are doing that. They're coffee, like Mayor Bennett does that, Coffee with Mayor Bennett. Kaiser Mayor Kathy Clark does that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that more kind of grassroots at the people level of reaching out. And when you get to the House representative level, that's a little bit more, you know, it's a little higher up on the totem pole as far as political office hierarchy. It gets harder to do that. I mean, especially when you're in session. So I think that's a great idea.
That's why I have staffers.
That's why you have staffers.
No, I mean, I will try to be there in person, but sometimes you know.
Sometimes you physically can, especially if there's a big vote.
And you know, Representative Greg Barreto, he does mm-hmm. virtual town halls too all the time.
Bill Post does that as
yeah.
well. I mean, there's a lot of, again, technology has really opened things wide up. It's made some things worse with the keyboard warriors who decide they can, you know, personal attack your family, you know, come out there and decide that they know everything that's right. And it's like, why don't you step up and run for office there, you know, X-Wing Fighter 21222,
mm-hmm.
because they're just behind their keyboards. So I do like that the fact that that it's much more accessible to people to get in there. You know, talking about concrete solutions, should you win in November 2020, you'd be sworn into office in 2021,
correct.
Which would be a long session.
Yep.
So we've got things coming down the pike. What does Representative Chambers do when they're, you talked about voting for the constituents. What do you do when you have a constituency that actually does not agree with you and wants you to vote a certain way? What's the metric for making decisions for you? How does Representative Chambers make decisions on these issues?
Town halls, engaging with people. Let's be honest, you only show up to talk to someone if you're mad.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And so more mad people are going to show up that don't support something or support something versus someone who doesn't. So it's just being there. And it's, go
okay.
ahead.
How do you reach the people that work 8 to 5, don't have the time to get there, may disagree? That we run into that at the city government level as well, where you've got people that have the time, they're retired, they are, you know, for whatever reason, they're able to get down to council chambers to make their voice heard. So it seems like that's the only voice that's in the room, but you've got this, you know, they always talk about the vast... the silent majority that can't make it down. How do you engage those
right.
folks?
Right, and that's what that office hours, it's where I will mm-hmm. go from like 6 to 8,
mm-hmm.
at least once a week, if not twice, and wait and so people can come and talk to me. Or, as I've always said, you can always call me. I've given out my cell number. It's available. You can talk to me, and I'll listen.
Email, too?
Email.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Email? Who uses email?
Well, I mean,
I do all the time.
I do too.
Carrier pigeons, if you want. I'm not licensed.
I don't have one trained.
Okay.
So we talked again. You are a bit younger than the average person that runs. How does your youth and enthusiasm play out on there? Is that a benefit to you, or is it a negative, or is it kind of neutral? It just doesn't matter.
Yes, to all three.
Okay.
So we'll go with this. We've been hearing politicians for decades talk for our children. For our
centuries.
Children, centuries. You know, they keep kicking the can down yeah. the road for, mm-hmm. oh, let's make our kids' lives better. Well, this kid's grown up.
Mm-hmm.
Things aren't better. The things you promised my parents and grandparents who to sacrifice, so when they got to that age, but they sacrificed early for us,
mm-hmm.
didn't happen. And so our generation, a lot of my generation, you guys aren't my generation.
Thanks.
I'll trade you.
No.
We're getting fed up.
You're getting fed up.
Yeah. But it's turning that social justice warrior, keyboard warrior into people who actually show up. And so I have the youth and the energy to do it, But at the same time, you know, people go, oh, who is this kid?
Yeah, right.
So,
because I look at it from my perspective, I think things are actually, the economy is going well. We have the cleanest air and cleanest water that we've ever had in this country. So I'm hearing this narrative of a younger demographic saying, you know, you've stolen my childhood. And that's not, I'm not saying that's you, but no. You're hearing that out there. Like, stolen your childhood? I mean, it's the crime statistics show that it's safer now than it really has ever been. The clean air and the environment, barring China and India, who are massive polluters that are coming in, the United States is actually doing a pretty decent job. So I guess I have to say, and maybe we'll have to have you come back on. Like, I'd love to hear articulate, why is it bad? What's so bad about it now?
Can I do that real quick?
Yes.
Yeah, so crumbling infrastructure that's been ignored.
Okay.
You know, like the bridges, the roads are literally
okay,
crumbling.
Okay, so you're talking really specific regionally.
Regional. Okay. Here, yeah. I'm not talking overall, you mm-hmm. know, standard of living. Mm-hmm. It's now like this last session cost us more than $625 more per person.
Yeah, Oregon seems to be going backwards.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. Oregon okay. is going the wrong way.
Yeah.
And student, you know, we want 50%+ in college. With $50,000 in debt,
yeah.
that sets us back so far,
yeah.
and you know, so it's just stuff like that is what's
okay. Because I wanted you to kind of articulate that, because from a global, more macro sense, we keep hearing that everything's awful and it's terrible and we live in a terrible world. And I just from the perspective of where I'm at in my timeline of life, I don't see that having come of age when it really was kind of crappy. I mean, I came of age in a terrible economy.
Greatest country in the planet.
Yeah.
Is right
so
here.
There's two ways to look at that coin, and you seem more on the positive end of it, other than recognizing more locally what needs to be fixed. So, Kevin, people that are listening to this that want to get more information about you, that may want to help you out, where do they go to find out more about Kevin Chambers?
Sure. The website is chambersfororegon.com. That's CHAMBERS.
Okay.
FOROregon.com.
Okay, you spelled out FOR.
Good. Yes.
Nice.
And you have Facebook and
Facebook, yeah. All my social media is whatever social media / Chambers Kevin S.
Okay, cool. Well, Kevin, I want to thank you for coming in and taking the time out. I know you got a day job too. So I appreciate you coming in and letting folks know about your race for HD20 and what you're doing in West Salem. I think that's great that
Thank
you're stepping
you.
Up.
Yeah, we did form a bridge committee too.
Excellent.
The other night to look at alternative bridge options.
Working with the SBS guys?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So yeah, we're not there are paths forward, and we're going to start taking
okay,
them.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I mean, the it's not going anywhere. It's going to be an issue in the council races. It is an issue in the council races.
Well, I'm glad to see that other people are stepping up to try and bring that back, because so many years we just got wasted.
It's not dead.
It's just amazing to me how let's not go forward.
Yeah. No, the community is the majority of people, I think, are up in arms about this. They just don't
99%?
Know what to do. Not 99%. No, but I mean, you look at the satisfaction surveys and you see the satisfaction with the city of Salem is on a downslide. And I really would kind of say that coincides with the progressive majority that is sitting on Salem and decisions that were made by a group of people that are ideologically progressive. And those decisions, I think it coincides and it dovetails and fits quite nicely when you see that dip in dissatisfaction, because those policies tend to lead for a lower quality of life.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, yeah. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we've got Jason Weber. You remember him talking about the vape issue. There was a big happening that happened about that. And Jason's going to fill us in on that. Right now, you are listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Excellent. Welcome back, everybody. We have got a special guest who we've had on before to give us an update on what's happening with the whole vaping ban and everything. Jason Weber from Smokeless Solutions by Vape Crusaders. Jason, are you there?
Yes. How y'all doing?
I am great. Welcome back to the show, Jason. It's good to have you back on to give us kind of an update, because some things have been happening and they've been good things.
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I just want to say thank you guys for letting me come on. And also, thank you for coming by the rally the other day. Wish me luck. Like, that meant a lot.
Oh,
that was really cool.
I was really glad to do it. And I was really glad to meet you in person and shake your hand, Jason, because I appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. So I know we don't have a lot of time. Yeah. So last time we talked, we were, you know, talking about how the Cape Brown could put through the flavor ban.
Yeah.
And as a lot of most people probably know, it did happen.
Mm-hmm.
But thankfully, the BTA teamed up with our advocacy group, the Oregon Vapor Trade Association, and we were able to get a temporary stay within 2 days.
Wow.
which shows that the judge obviously seen the truth and sided with us really quick. And as of what I think it's been a few days now, but yeah. We got the permanent stay as of the other day to where they, you know, we won the case against the Oregon Health Authority. And basically they've seen how much damage it was going to do to our business
yeah.
and that he had nothing to do with obviously all the illnesses and deaths that these black market THC carts have caused.
Is that vitamin E acetate? Is that what the culprit was? Or that's kind of where all eyes are sort of pointing to?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, which, you know, we talked about this, I think it was months ago, and we've been screaming about it for 3 months, but finally the CDC came out with the truth yeah. about 2 weeks ago, showing that it was like almost 90% of the cases had all led to that. And then now they're showing that, or doctors are even saying that the 11% that said that they were vaping nicotine products, now they believe they were lying. So
oh
it's
my gosh.
Kind of all coming to light.
So, okay, back up a second. They were lying? So we had all this happen, these bans. I mean, knee-jerk reactions from state governments, from you know, even at the federal government, I think I saw something which we can backtrack to, based on lies.
Well, basically, I mentioned to you last time, like, they were saying, oh, well, not all the cases were people had vape THC. They said nicotine products. You have to understand, there's a lot of kids that are underage.
Yeah.
A lot of people are in states that marijuana is not legal. And so they were scared. They didn't want to tell the doctors the truth. And sadly, we did not do anything to go out of our way to drug test them, which is something you would think that the CDC would make sure was happening to get to the bottom of it. But, you know, like I said before, they knew what was going on the whole time and just took their sweet time saying it. There's definitely been agendas behind it. And it's showing because even now, the truth has came out, you know, even in Oregon, look, we won this case. It's obvious we had nothing to do with it. The CDC's came out and told the truth. The FDA's came out and told the truth. Yet still, when I go on and do three media channels the other day, TV News, they give me a five-second clip to say a couple words, and then they go on to basically, you know, tell Oregon not to vape. And Kate Brown says you shouldn't vape, and OHA says you should still pull the products off your shelf. So even with that, they're still pushing their agenda with no leg to stand on. It's insane.
I saw an AP story come across my timeline, and I wish I'd printed it out, that at the federal level they're looking to ban vaping, just all of it across the board.
Yeah, it's coming from so many directions.
Yeah.
You know, Trump came out a few weeks ago, I think.
Yes,
it was.
Talk about that.
September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, saying, you know, he was going to ban vaping flavors and it was bad. And then all of a sudden he started backtracking a little bit,
yeah.
saying, well, we need to look more into this. And then thanks to our advocates and our vapers and our industries, you know, there's a big rally in D.C. There's been rallies in other states. And it's really gotten his attention. And so it looks like he's taking his time to actually look into the job aspect of it. Hopefully looking into the health aspect of it, too, because this isn't just about jobs. This is about saving lives.
Yeah.
So but we're kind of all on our toes right now waiting for him to come out and hopefully come up with good regulation, you know, something that will, yes, keep kids from accessing these products, but also allow adults the flavors that they need to quit smoking and our businesses to keep going without being messed with so often.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, Jason, because you're not anti-regulation.
No, not at all. Like we came up with our own, you know, marketing plans, regulation, and ideas, and it's really good stuff that could actually help. I mean, there is a good medium for all of us to get what we want.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, like, call it the knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
Everyone just seems to want to ban flavors, which is prohibition. You're banning our businesses because that's over 90% of our businesses is the flavor aspect.
So can you talk a little bit, I mean, in between the time when the ban went into effect, between the time when the permanent stay came on, there was some timeline in there. Any damage to businesses? Was there any fallout from that? Are people recovering?
Oh my
I mean,
gosh.
What's the landscape
yes.
look like now?
Yes, it's. I mean, it's still bad. Like,
yeah.
our businesses are down 40 to 70%, depending on what area you're in. I mean, I'm not going to lie. My businesses are suffering. Like, most days we don't make payroll
wow.
Because of the misconceptions.
Yeah.
It's chased off all the folks that would come in to really quit smoking. It's chased off regular customers. I've got customers coming in telling me how they bought nicotine themselves and they're trying to mix it themselves because they thought they wouldn't be able to get it anymore.
Oh, man.
And it's not even, we're not even the worst. I mean, look at Washington State. My brothers and sisters in Washington, they are just hurting right now. They have a flavor ban that they didn't win the suit on, and so it's been over a month now, and they're just dropping and going out of business left and right. We had businesses go down within 2 days and imagine over a month. So, you know, it's not just us. It's bad. The misconceptions are real, and what they've done to us is it looks like it's designed to have done what they needed it to do.
So Talk to me about what the landscape looked like moving forward, because, I mean, granted, yes, in Oregon we have that permanent stay, but, I mean, the fight's certainly not over. You, like you said, you got your brothers and sisters up in Washington that are dealing with this, it's really damaging to them. We've got talk of at the federal level banning things. Where do you guys go? Where does your industry go from here?
I mean, we just keep digging our heels in. If we're talking national, we still have the PMCA thing to worry about in March, which they still haven't came up with clear rules, and that's another lawsuit with the Vapor Trade Association. In Oregon, we're looking at February for a short session, so I'm sure that they're going to come really hard then. Right now, we still have counties trying to ban flavors. I was just in a hearing in Multnomah County.
You're from Roseburg.
Exactly. And so I drove 3 hours each direction to do that, and we're going to be back there again on December 3rd at 4 o'clock is the last hearing for that. And then I heard Kitsap. There's
Kitsap
County that's now talking about doing it soon.
That's Kitsap County. That's Washington, right? Or is that Oregon?
Okay, then I'm pronouncing it wrong. I'm sorry, I don't remember.
That's okay. There's 36 counties in Oregon, so it's one of those.
Clatsop.
Oh, Clatsop County. Gotcha. That's up by the coast, North Coast.
Yeah.
Well, so, no one expects you to know all the name or be able to pronounce them, Jason. You got to stay focused on what the goal is here.
Absolutely. So, and I mean, if you don't mind, another thing I wanted to say is if there's anyone listening that is, you know, a vape shop owner or a manufacturer or anyone who is selling vapor products in the state of Oregon, you are in business right now because of the Oregon Vapor Trade Association and because of the Vapor Technology Association. So it's time to pitch in. Like, you need to get on board with us. I mean, look what we were able to do with a dozen of us. Imagine if every one of our businesses was on board, we were paying our dues, and we were showing up to fight and give our time. Like, we could actually, you know, we could get so much further and maybe we wouldn't be fighting so often. Maybe we could be more proactive and get ahead of this.
I like that. And you guys, you know, be the sort of the Northwest voice to represent nationally, because this really is an assault on your business. And when you talk about it was misinformation. And you said the CDC, the facts are coming out, and the facts are not in the favor of the people that want to ban at this point.
No, it seems like they're just transferring back to the kid argument. Let's ban it to the children. And I explained last time, the kind of fake statistics of them asking, you know, if they've ever tried vaping and then saying that they're full-time vapers and then telling us that 74% of high school students are vaping when really, you know, it not only is those numbers not real, but most of them are using Juul products, which again are big tobacco. It's got nothing to do with what we do in our vape shops. I don't think there's a single shop left that even would touch that product because of what they've done to our industry.
Okay, so Jason, real quick before we have to wrap up for today, where do people go to find out more information about this if they want to get involved and learn more about it?
Anybody is more than welcome to follow me on Facebook. I try to put as much information as I can, but like as far as the getting all the good advocacy stuff for Oregon and for any businesses that want to be involved, it would be OregonBTA.org. And there's different links on there for whether, you know, to become a membership.
Okay.
Links to our Facebook page, I'm sure.
Perfect. Well, what we'll do is we'll link up in show notes on that. Jason, we got to wrap up. We're out of time. So I want to thank you again for coming back on and giving our listeners an update on this. Once again, this is Jason Weber from Smokeless Solutions via Vape Crusaders. Jason, thanks so much.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.
All right. Take care. All right. That's it. I mean, that's good information. That's a win.
The fight continues.
Yeah, but the fight continues. It's certainly not over. May have won this battle, but the war continues. All right. Thanks, everybody.
We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.